It is time for the PM team's plays of the game. We will each pick a play. We will put the three plays on our Twitter account. You will vote on the winner, who you believe accurately pointed out the most important play of the game in the Steelers' 20-10 win against the Chargers. So I will tee off first. Here is Jim Nance and Tony Romo, folks.
A little limp. Now,
that was the worry. I didn't know if he could finish the game. Remember I told you before?
Heinicke's come in for him.
Oh, that is a scary proposition on that hit on first down, Jim.
First down play, Alandon Roberts. The host of the Alandon Roberts Show.
The Tooth Chipper.
The Tooth Chipper on 93.7 The Fan. I believe a Thursday night edition this week, Don, with Pirates Baseball. Programming alert. Will you be on the call with him?
I will.
You will. There you go. Thursday night. He made, I think, the most important play. Justin Herbert was the guy he usually is against the Steelers, which is really damn good, despite having an ankle that was probably shot up with lidocaine, novocaine, cocaine. I don't know what else they put. They were, they were putting a bunch of stuff in that ankle, and he looked awesome.
What did they complete combined? 19 straight as a duo of quarterbacks, first time since 91 that's happened in a game.
And
he was carving them up.
A former Steeler said he thought that if Herbert had stayed in the game, the Chargers would have gone on to win. I don't agree with
that. Was that former Steeler Chris Hoke?
Not saying.
Oh, this is a pony, one of Pony's people.
However, that is where the Chargers' hopes and dreams in that game died. It was tied. They had no shot when Herbert went out. So I think that ultimately was the thing that spurred them to victory.
I thought we had a chance with Heinicke being the one that they sent in. I thought there was a chance of a Vinny Johnson microwave situation. Heinicke just goes out there with his, you know, big brass ones, doesn't care if he throws a pick, and just chucks a couple down the field, but that did not happen because that defense was really, really,
all right, Malzi,
really
what's yours?
Good. Well, Pony, I have to go back now because I was wondering if you had cut up a bunch of special ones only for yourself, but I'll take...
Would you like me to reenact
a
call?
No. I have this. Donnie, can you put my computer up so I can play sound?
I got it.
Thank you.
No, he can't. He's not allowed to do that from Craig.
Oh, yeah? Really? That's funny. Because I'm gonna do what most people expect old Mulsey to do on a regular basis, and I will pick the lowest hanging fruit.
Second and seven. Austin cuts ahead. Austin to the 20. Foot race to the 10. He's across for the touchdown.
When he said cuts ahead, the first time I heard it, I thought he said pencil head.
So did I, actually. Austin, for a guy who's very fast, and that's his
pencil
one thing.
Head, touchdown!
Did you guys see like the shot when they showed like the camera from behind him? He's got those like the gangly Forrest Gump legs kicking out in every direction. Did not look like the most efficient running style. I will nominate that play, though, not just because it did seal the game, but because one of the worries people, I think, have with Mike Tomlin is he going to let his offense try to close out games? You'll note that you could tell he really liked what Mason was doing almost in spite of his own preconceived notions when he let him throw to seal the Seattle game last year. That was a sign to me, like, I'm going to give you a chance to actually deliver the kill shot.
That
it was a kill shot throw and an aggressive drive. Yeah, they threw the ball multiple times on that drive. They didn't take the ball out of Fields' hands.
They started at their own 16. They were only up three. It was the fourth quarter, so they had reason to think that a field goal lead would be enough.
I texted a buddy. I said, he probably wants to win this game 13-10. And credit to Tomlin, especially credit to Fields, credit to Austin, credit to Arthur Smith, who had a very good play call drawn up there. They went out and tried to win the game. They didn't just try to run the clock out. And so, for a variety of reasons, I will take the obvious play and say that was the play of the game.
Donald?
Third and three. Fields, open field, and a touchdown! Well, after no signs of life the first three series, the Steelers this time go 70 yards for the touchdown.
I'm going to go with the first Justin Fields rushing touchdown as a Pittsburgh Steeler. I also think, even though it was early in the game, this was important because we have been waiting on, well, what happens when that other team comes out there and punches them in the mouth? I know that they have trailed at points this season. They trailed by a few points against Atlanta in week one. But the thought was, well, one of these teams is going to come out and take a lead on them, and then we'll see Justin Fields for what he really is. We'll see this guy screw up. He won't be able to lead a drive down the field. They went right back down the field, and you heard Nance say it there in the call of, yeah, their first three drives went pretty much nowhere. It looked like a disaster on offense. They go right down the field, and it ends with Justin Fields in the end zone. Also, in stadium, it felt a little bit different when that play actually happened. Like, I think people started to get a little bit of a feeling of maybe we have something here with this offense and with this guy.
Was the guy that you sit next to, was there a robust hug? Was there like a big high five?
I wasn't next to my guy Jared yesterday. I was with Sarah in her seats.
So was there a big hug and a high five?
Well, yeah.
But down there, that's more of a wine and cheese crowd, so they're not as rowdy?
Well, yeah, that's what I like to call the pony section.
When you
like
have
45-yard line, 100 level.
When you hold a beer in your hand in that section, do you tip the pinky out because you got to, you know?
Oh, the pinky goes way out.
Don't let me spill my red wine. Don't get too rambunctious down here, Don.
You spilled the vino.
All right.
I will say this before. There was a guy there yesterday.
Yeah.
Who was sitting next to us, and it was like just an old dude. Like, he wasn't an old guy. He was like a dude that's probably in like his mid-30s. He showed zero emotion for anything that happened in the entire game.
Was he decked out in Steelers stuff?
He had like a Steelers shirt on and a Steelers hat. He had his arms crossed. He showed zero emotion for anything in the game, anything that happened in the breaks. The one I was actually stunned by, what normally gets people to at least get up and clap, they do the salute to service thing. They bring out a former military member.
Nothing.
Stayed right in his seat.
How about
arms
Renegade?
Crossed. Right in his seat, arms crossed. It's like he was a statue.
Was he?
Maybe he's actually like a secret service agent or something. Or not secret service, but maybe he's actually there in like security detail and he's undercover in Steelers gear. And he's keeping a watchful eye over
Wouldn't
everybody.
The best way to be incognito to actually cheer and stuff like that? Like to blend in?
But maybe that distracts him from actually doing his job.
Oh, just some polite clapping.
Nothing. Nothing.
Just a cyborg. Just the Terminator. Just the Terminator sitting there.
Yes.
Like Rob, about as interested as Rob Lowe wearing the NFL hat at the Super Bowl.
All right, three options here to choose from.